Look. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Don't let my heart turn cold. Have mercy on me, have mercy on my soul. Don't let my heart turn cold. Have mercy on many men. Many, 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 many men. Wish they'd pump me, yeah, I don't cry no more. I don't look to the sky no more. Cause I got it on me. I got it on me. I got it on me. You can run up if you want.
Look,
it's possible niggas know me. K24's like I'm
Kobe. What's up, what's up, what's up? Hey, what's going on, everybody? How we feeling, y'all? Welcome to Black Culture, The Breakdown. Y'all know what time it is. I am your boy, Jersey. What up, Talk By T? How we feeling? My music just cut off mad abruptly. All right, but what's going on, everybody? How we feeling? Oh, the only Jason Lee is in the building. What's up, bro? Ah, man, we're about to get to Jason Lee in a second. He's in the building. My boy X, we in the building. Let's get the segments kicking off, yo. Let's get the segments kicking off. How we feeling today, everybody? All right, y'all. So this is what I need y'all to do. I need y'all to click the arrow and send the live out. We got a super dope lineup in the building. And I think we got a super nice show on the way. All right, Hollywood Unlock is in the building. What's up? All right. XAB, are you ready, my friend? Let's get you on and let's start getting these conversations cracking. But how everybody feeling today? Now, let me get myself set up. We back for Black Culture, The Breakdown. Hey, sound effects in full action. All right, we back, y'all. We back. How we feeling? Y'all see I'm rocking my Lotus Forever Kimani shirt right here. I'm not sure if you guys will know, but I'm an educator. I have a school. I'm a creative director and a choreographer, and I have a school called Lotus Creations Academy out here in Brooklyn. And one of my students actually just passed away. Super tragic. And I had to kind of, you know, help the family put her to rest this weekend. So I'm wearing my Kimani Forever, Lotus Forever hoodie and just representation and just remembrance of my students. All right, this is what we do it for. We do it to educate. We do it to just build up the culture. And that's what we're here for, which is Black Culture, The Breakdown. All right? All right, all about pushing the culture forward.
Yes.
All right, so let me get the homie XAB in the live. Thank you. I appreciate that. I appreciate y'all. Charlotte, what's up? I see you're in the building too. Romy, what's up? I see you in the building. All right, we're going to get King XAB in live, and then we're going to jump into coaching news. Okay, XAB is not on the live yet. All right, so we're going to actually jump into Charlotte. Nah, it's not Charlotte. We're going to have Romy actually jump on, which is actually a deep. Romy's actually somebody that is an EDM DJ that's going to kill us all the vibes and just talk to us about what goes down on that side of things. All right?
Yes.
Hey. So we about to get in the money today, y'all. How we feeling? How we feeling, y'all? Romy, you ready to jump on, bro? All right. There's a lot that's going on in media today. A whole lot that's going on in media. You know, usually the King XAB breaks down coaching news. And we go through all the different things that's going on in media, but XAB is actually not on the live right now. But it's all good. Romy.
Hey, what up, man? How's it going?
You get set up? All right, there we go.
Yeah, I'm good. How's it going, man?
Everything's good, bro. Welcome to the show, bro.
Thank you.
Appreciate you jumping on a little bit earlier than expected. But this is Black Culture, The Breakdown, man. How we feeling today?
Good, man. Right now it's a little stressful watching the Dodger game, you know.
Okay.
Doing pretty good, but yeah, you know.
You got you watching the Dodger game. Hey, XAB is in the building. XAB, you're going to jump on next, bro. All right, so Romy, tell the people who you are and what you do, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? My name is Romy, and I basically make a lot of house music. I make big room house, feature bounce house, a lot of music that makes you groove. I have my own home studio right here, but I also work down at the studio, Phaser Control Recording Studio, down in San Diego, here in California. So right now, because of COVID, we're just doing a lot of work from in our own home studio. So Currently for myself, I'm working on my project as far as my next album that I'm about to put out. I just came out with a new album. It's called Quarantine.
Okay.
And that's about like 17 tracks, a lot of house music. So if you guys want to check that out. But yeah, man, I mean, right now it's just working on my projects. I have a couple other artists that I'm working on, actually that are doing rap, hip hop themselves. I'm working with my cousin Chico De Niro and then the homie Ruckus ASG. And their music is doing pretty good. I'm actually working with them because I need a lot more work in that in mixing hip hop because I mix a lot of EDM, electric, house music.
Gotcha.
So I want to be a little bit, you know, diverse when it comes to my mixing.
Okay. You know? So let's actually just jump into kind of what, you know, kind of actually became wrong. Right? So bring us through that real quick. Like, and get into DJing because I know you've actually built the following. So talk to us about how you actually.
I mean, so I've been doing this for quite a while now. Back in the high school days, I used to throw house parties out here in California, you know, and I made a name through that.
Okay.
And after that, like the promoters were picking me up from different clubs because I had a following from the house parties. And then little by little, I started making my way through like that house party scene and into going into the club scene out here in California. So I was doing a lot of clubs when I was really younger.
Gotcha. And
so I was able to make my following that way. You know, I still have a lot of those people that I DJed back in the day that are still following me.
Gotcha.
Now that I'm creating music. Because before I was just an open format DJ. And then I kind of became more of an electronic house music DJ when it all first started like coming about back in like, I want to say what, 09, 10? Because
okay.
I mean, yeah, because I'm 30. Or I'm about to be 30, should I say. So I've been around for a while.
All right, got you. Listen, man, I'm 29 too. I'm about to be 30 as well. So, you know what I'm saying? So, we definitely from the same generation.
Oh, that's shit. Good shit.
Bro, like, we just got to make sure we in the money.
Of course. I mean, music's been my life, and that's like the biggest thing that I've been trying to work for, you know?
Got you. So, talk to me about how Black culture is affected, why you want it to be. Like, how has Black culture influenced that?
I mean, like, back in the day when I would be listening to, like, a lot of these rappers and hip-hop artists, like Dub C, who else? A lot of Nate Dogg I would be listening to, you know, because, you know, his singing and his hooks, you know, in any song that you listen to, it just, you know, he's always on point. He makes that, he elevates that song. And so, for instance, like, when I was DJing, back then, I was DJing a lot of hip hop, so for me, like it really helped me when I was trying to produce EDM because I really kind of understood the grounds of making music, or what were the sounds within hip hop, like the grooves of hip hop, the kicks in hip hop, those hi hats that hit when it, you know, on like a nice dirty bass in hip hop, anything like that, and. By me learning that early on when I was DJing, it helped me, like, in my producing years now to make, like, some nice groove house music using a lot of the techniques that they used to use back in the day.
Got you. All right. So dope, man. So now, talk to us now more about, like, how you, like, formulated, like, your sound. So, like, you now got into, like, you're focused on EDM, right?
Yeah.
So now, how did you start to formulate your sound to be like, all right, this is distinctive who Romy is as a DJ?
In all honesty, man, I'm just really trying to be like diverse with my sound when it comes to like EDM. There's a lot of subgenres within the house music. There's big house, there's tech house, there's future bass house, and I'm kind of not trying to get stuck in one subgenre, because a lot of DJs do, or producers, they're like, all right, you know, you just stick to your big room. I'm trying to really, you know, dip my hand in producing each one, and once I think it's something that's a little bit good enough, I'll put it out, even if someone doesn't like it. I mean, at the end of the day, you know, that's the best work that I could put out at the time, and then just practice that for the next one, you know, because I've made Tropical House.
Got you.
Where, you know, now listening to it, because of the other techniques that I've tried out already, I listen to it and I can be like, oh, I wish I could have gone back and done it. But and to me, it's more of, all right, I'm done. I already finished the track, move on to the next one, and just, you know, keep showing my progression. You know, whatever I'm putting out right now, it's what I think is the best music I can produce at the moment.
Definitely. All right, man. So that's dope, man. Let's actually kind of like rock out with you, man. I know you're about to get a set for us real quick, and we would definitely like to hear something what you got. We're going to get my sound effects in the background, bro. But we're going to just let you vibe out with you.
All right, got you, man. I'll turn something on for you. I'll do a nice one. And thank you for having me on, bro.
Of course, bro. Of course, man. I'm definitely going to vibe out. If y'all tuning in, this is Black Culture The Breakdown. We got a super dope lineup today. It's Romy that's about to play us a super dope set, right?
Yes!
So we're about to get ready to get that popping. Now, XAB needs to be calling on the line next. Yeah, don't miss the call, X. Lost Romy, but the party was lit. Yo, I was actually vibing. Yo, I actually really felt like I was in a beast of vibing just now. Dang, Romy, that was a whole vibe, bro. I'm not sure what happened. Damn, Romy left the building. That was lit, though. Romy, thank you so much for coming on, bro, and just killing it, bro. We're going to definitely get that one set up again, man. I'm not sure what happened, but we're going to just move on to the next segment and get my kid XAB on the live. But Romy, we're going to get you back on in a second, all right? XAB?
Yo. What's going on, family?
What's going on, man?
Yeah, as you can see, I'm not in my normal setup, so I was looking for my piece, but there's a lot going on where I'm at right now, so it was a little hard for me to find it, so I'm improvising right now.
All right, no worries. It's okay. We can see you bright and clear, bro. Welcome to Black.
You already know.
Yeah, man. Welcome back to the show.
You already know, bro.
Oh, I got new sound effects, X. Hold on. Oh, we don't want that one. Hold on. I got new ones. Oh, not that one. I don't see my yay anymore. But it's all right, we're gonna get that one later. But
we're gonna get to it.
Yeah, we're gonna get to it. Bro, welcome back to Black Culture, man. We got a lot to talk about. We was looking for you earlier, but it's all right, you're in the building now. There's so much that's going on
as
in
media. Always.
So Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield may be joining Tom Holland in the next Spider-Man. How dope and how excited are we for this?
I mean, I think it's a lot of fanfare there. I think a lot of fans were looking for something of that nature to happen. And it's really dope because this is an opportunity for them to kind of tie up the Amazing Spider-Man's storyline and also pay homage to you know, Tobey Maguire. So I think it's really dope. It's exciting. I hope that they do a really good job, because when you start getting into the multiverse type of things and you're still trying to capture realism, it starts to get a little tricky. So I'm excited to see how Marvel ties it all together.
Definitely. I'm definitely excited to see how Marvel ties it all together. So all the Marvel fans out there, they about to go crazy.
Like, yeah, this is definitely exciting for them, for sure.
Be crazy. All right, man. So how do you feel about just Marvel in general, that, you know, now that, like, Chadwick, you know, passed, and, like it's not the same now without Black Panther?
I think they were very smart by doing their movies the way they do, where they tied up the original storyline within that 10-year mark. Because, gotcha, as you can see, actors, they move on to different roles. Sometimes they don't want to be Captain America anymore. They don't want to be Iron Man anymore. Or sometimes, you know, unfortunate, untimely demises happen, like with Chadwick, RIP. But I think that they're smart by doing it this way, because now what they can do is they always can reinvent how they want to do it. So I think that's what's happening now, and I'm excited to see what happens. Now, COVID has really messed up the timeline, though, because, as you know, Black Widow was supposed to come out.
Okay. But, background.
What'd you say, Jersey?
There's some noise in your background.
Oh, yeah, they lit over there.
Okay. Definitely, man. But let's jump into this topic. What up, Z? Z's in the building. Yeah, I'm feeling Z.
Z, what's going on?
By the way, Jason Lee's in the building in Hollywood Unlock. All right. So, you know, we definitely, and we got Charlotte in the building too. Romy in the building.
And sounds like a lot of really dope guests.
XAB in the building. Yeah. All right, but X, let's jump into this next thing. Ice Cube responds to backlash over Trump collaboration. Let's talk about all of that. It's just, bro, there's so much to unpack with just, like, everybody that's jumping into the political ring right now. Like, rappers and a lot of, you know, Black celebrities that's really jumping into, you know, taking on a heavy burden. But I think a justice to our community, but still a little bit, like, a little confused to me, some of them. But talk to me about how you feel about Ice Cube and his response.
I mean, I think you set up the question rather well, like, perfectly. I think part of the issue is that there are celebrities now trying to be very political, and the common person isn't very political. A lot of us need to really own the fact that we don't follow politics as much as we should. And so when we jump in to political arguments and political commentary halfway in, we tend to make mistakes, and we tend to do things that aren't going to mow over and be popular. And I think that's what happened with Ice Cube. I think Ice Cube has made a very hard stance as to opposing everything that Trump has been doing and what he stands for. But then it looks a little hypocritical when you then decide to work with him. And I know he has his reasons, and he stated online why he felt like it was a good thing to do. But it just comes off a little, like I said, hypocritical because of the hard stance that he's had in the past and what Trump stands for. And we just can't divorce the two. They are married. Like, Trump stands for a lot of things, law and order and all these other things that he totes all the time. And so working with him just kind of looks odd no matter who you are and no matter what your intentions are. It's like, there's a saying, it's like when you get into the mud. You get into the mud with somebody or you get into the mud with a pig. The pig loves the mud, but you come out dirty and messy and nasty. And Trump lives in the mud. So Ice Cube going in there thinking that he was going to come out clean just was ill-informed.
I completely agree, bro.
Yes!
These celebrities kind of jumping in the political ring. Sometimes it's a conflict of what they be saying. It's a conflict of what they talk about in their music. You understand? Like, it's just not even, it doesn't even make a lot of sense. Like, you're completely saying that you agree with supporting Black America, but then you're working with Trump. Is definitely a conflict. However, I do see what he's doing with working with somebody to try to fix the problem. You understand?
It's right.
Leader, who else is he supposed to work with? What is he supposed
you
to
do? You know, part of his stance is that he's trying to work with both sides, right? He's trying to, Trump had axed and he said, well, I can help you build a plan for Black people. And then he said he was open to working with Biden and doing the same thing. But again, it's just that this isn't a typical election and this isn't a typical president. So anybody who ends up working with him gets a side eye, unfortunately, but fortunately, because we just can't dismiss his actions and how he moves and the things that he's done, unfortunately. So when you align yourself and you put yourself in the same space as that person, you gotta understand that's going to come with some backlash.
Absolutely. Bro, man, you kept it super real. You kept it all the way G with us like you always do. Let everybody know where they can find you. You know, we got to push it on and get Miss Charlotte on the line.
Yes, yes. So, everybody, you already know it's the Kid XAB from Dad Hats and Bow Ties podcast that talks about everything in the realm of politics and entertainment. If you are willing and able and want to follow me, you can just go right up at the top and click on my name. Follow me. I follow back.
That's right.
Yeah, you see me every week on Black Culture The Breakdown. We got something special going on right now, so this is why I'm off campus, my normal campus. And while you hear some noise, there's actually some filming going on in the background. So look out for that. But again, XAB Music, go to the top if you want to follow me. I'm out, Jersey. I know you have an amazing show lined up. And like you said, you got some really dope guests. So I'm going to get out of your way. I'm going to get out of your way, brother. Take care. Bro,
always keep it real, man. Appreciate you. All right, bro. We'll see you. All right. So that was the King XAB. Make sure y'all follow him from Dads and Botas. He hits. He gets the news.
Yes.
He's smart.
Yes.
He know what he be talking about.
Yes.
He's reliable.
Yes.
He was late today.
Yes.
Absolutely. But usually his segment is first. He gives us the culture news, all right? But let's get our culture guest on the line today. This beautiful young lady, my name is Charlotte. We're going to get her calling in on the live. Charlotte, you ready? Let's jump on. All right. Charlotte's calling in. How we feeling? Let's call in again. There she go.
Hey, how you doing?
Feeling queen.
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. You're looking beautiful and vibrant on here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
So welcome to Black Culture The Breakdown.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So tell the people, first of all, who you are and what you do.
Okay, great. So my name is Charlotte. Like about 3.5 months ago, I started a visual podcast right here on Instagram. It was just like for fun that I would do with that, like hopefully my friends would tune in and they'd enjoy it, and it became bigger than I expected. It got a lot more engagement, which I'm happy about. And it led to a couple things that I'm sure we're going to get to in this episode. Thanks for having me. And I'm excited to just like talk about whatever it is you want me to talk about.
Absolutely. Charlotte, welcome to the show. So let's clap it up for you. We are definitely excited to get into all this conversation.
Yes.
You know, because I definitely came across your story on Daytime Tea Time. I actually want to credit that, you know, because I saw it on the YouTube, and I was like, yo, this is actually quite interesting because I do what you do in a way. And I'm like, how would I feel if somebody was to just literally, you know, come and just take my platform and just literally call this Black Culture the Breakdown? And I'm like, I've been doing this for about 3 months as well. So I'm like, I could absolutely relate to this story. I definitely got to hear from you. So let's bring this all the way back. How did you come up with the name See the Thing Is? Talk to us about it.
So See the Thing is something that I say all the time. You can ask all of my friends. So I know there are like different configurations. People say, oh, the thing is, or here's the thing, or what I'm trying to say, whatever, whatever. But I had never heard anybody say See the Thing Is. And that was just something that I would always say. So I remember I hit the group chat with my friends and I was like, I think I want to do something, this type of thing. I don't know what to call it, but I think I'm going to go with See the Thing Is because that's what I always say.
Okay.
So that's how I came up with the name.
All right. So now I know you're like super specific. You like the dot, 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 and the ellipsis. All right. So now how did you actually decide where you want to place your ellipsis? And what was the strategic placement of the dot, 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 if there was any?
No, there was. Because like I said, this is something that I say. So I think about, okay, how do I say this thing, this phrase? So I'm like, see, the thing is. So whenever I say see, I have a pause. And then I have the ellipses because like I have something that's coming up next. So when I was coming up with the name, I could have just did See the Thing Is, no comma, no ellipses. I could have had the comma somewhere else. I could have did whatever. But like it was very specific to how I speak. And because I wanted this show to amplify my voice and the voices of people that were around me, I was like, I'm going to just make this very tailored and specific to me and how I talk. So that's how I came up with the placement of the punctuation. I don't know how Joe Budden came up with the placement of his punctuation, but that's another story.
Got you. So now, talk to me about the premise of your show. All right, so See the Thing is what something that you say, and that's who you are. So now, break down to me the premise of your show and how that went about.
Yeah, so every time I say See the Thing Is, I'm about to explain something. I'm about to like break something down, something that's really passionate to me. So I was like, I'm so used to people listening to me and hear what I have to say. I kind of want to hear what other people have to say. So I was like, if you have something that you're just as passionate about, something that makes you start a sentence and go See the Thing Is, what is it? So I would have people come on my show and tell me something that they're interested in, you know, the thing that makes them go See the Thing Is. And then we have a conversation about it. And more often than not, I had 10 episodes and all of them related to just like Black culture, being Black and this being a young person and navigating the world as a Black person, just things like that. Because that's things that I'm passionate about. Those are things that other people that would come on the show are passionate about. And that's what I made my platform and my show about.
Got you. I definitely got a chance to like check out some of your work and watched a few, skim through some of your episodes. And I could definitely see the passion that you have between just pretty much like diving into Black culture and having real conversations. And so now, when did you realize, like, all right, like I put 3 months into this and now I'm seeing that Joe Budden Network is putting out a podcast with three ladies that's also called See the Thing Is?
So it was funny because I had decided to do 10 episodes for season one and then take a break and figure out what I'm going to do next. So that Sunday, my episode came out every Sunday. So that Sunday, I released my season finale. And then one of my friends, she's actually on the live right now, DM'd me his post that's like announcing it. And at first I was just confused. I was like, this isn't real. The only thing that kept coming out of my mouth to describe the situation was that this is weird. Like, it was just so weird. And I'm just like, for me, I couldn't think, like, there's no way that like Joe Budden came on my page, saw my thing and decided to like do it. And then I was talking it through with my roommate and my friends and they're like, the show, like I said, it got a lot more engagement, a lot more reach than I expected. Like I would post it on my page and then other people would share it. Like I would go places and see people for the first time and they're like, oh, don't you have that show on Instagram? So I'm like, it probably reached places that he or his interns or his workers or somebody had access to. And, you know, thinking that I'm a much smaller platform, it wouldn't matter. Like it wouldn't be noticeable or something. So when I found out, I was very shook. I was like in disbelief. It took a while to process. It took like a couple of days actually to even realize what was going on, just because there was like a lot of behind the scenes that was happening with me and their team, and it was just too much. So yeah, it wasn't great.
So Of course, that, yo, that sounds like a nightmare, because like I said, I'm on a platform right now, which is basically virtually the same thing of kind of like what you do. And somebody was, because I've built this from the ground. I know the groundwork that content, the research, the, all of it, the preparation. And when you're a small team and you don't necessarily have interns and you don't necessarily have a massive team, you do everything yourself, right? Yeah. So it's just the principle of it all, you understand? And for that, I definitely got to say that it was wrong. You know what I'm saying? Then I was looking into the story a little bit more, and the comment that you had zero comments on 10 episodes. What? What? it's just like, because it's like, yo, and this is what I'm saying, like, just because you're not a big shark at the moment, don't sleep on my intelligence, what my will of what God has in store for me. And zero comments can turn to 50 comments into 1,000 comments real quick. You understand? So at the end of the day, nobody's gonna overshadow what your work is gonna be. So that's why that comment was like a stab or a jab.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? Because when I started off my show, I ain't have no comments on my show either. You know what I'm saying? Because the reason why people, they have comments on this show because they're celebrities already.
Exactly. We're starting from the ground up. Like, it's just us, and it's very belittling, very dismissive. And for someone who claims, because my thing was also, like, even if it was a coincidence, if that's not what your intentions were, I just didn't like you said, it was a principle and how you go about it. Like, you are claiming to be a network, uplifting the voices of Black women, supporting your community. So, like, at least use that as an opportunity to, like, say, here's some advice for how to move forward, not you get zero comments, so I'm sorry. Like, you know, it's just like, we're supposed to be in community, and it was very upsetting to see that, like, hey, like, I mean, not me personally, I don't look up to Joe Budden, but, like, I know other people that do, and if this is how you're treating people who have less followers than you do or a much smaller platform than you do, like, that's really messed up.
It is messed up. It is. It takes for somebody to take a chance, just like somebody took a chance on him, or somebody took a chance on Beyonce, somebody took a chance on Puffy. Everybody has to take a chance on them to get to where they get to. You understand? Yes. So unless you're born into money, you understand that's the way it is. So I just feel like that, you know, we just should all support each other, not put each other. But just jumping back into now, just the timeline of this all. So you realize that he took your name around the finale, all right? Now everybody's going crazy on the social media. So you put your post out and you addressed it, and then you actually started getting into conversations with his team. That was actually the DMs were released on Daytime Tea Time. Talk to us about how that even made you feel, just seeing back and forth with him and your friend.
It was very overwhelming. I'm not gonna lie, I was very anxious. Like, I could not sleep for like the 2 days, and that's why I had to get off of social media for a little bit, because I had reached out to them and I wasn't getting anything back. Like, I wasn't hearing back until the next day, and one of the podcast hosts reached out to me. But like, Joe Budden did not reach out to me. No, none of the other people had reached out to me, but they were DMing my friends and talking about me, about my friends. And like, I went on live the second day, and he like watched the live and was telling my friend, like, why is she saying all these things about me and defamation of character and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, come in my DMs and talk to me about this. So I'm like talking to the one podcast person that like actually decided to have a conversation with me. And I'm trying to tell her, okay, like, since you're the only one that's willing to listen, here's what it is. But like, even her comments were very like rude, very condescending, very like, well, we've done what we needed to. We've made the podcast page. We've put it on Apple. We like, cause they have the capital and the means to do it. So they're like, we've done what we have to do. Sorry, figure it out on your own what to do next. Next time, do better. And I'm just like, LOL. So then I saw him and Kira, who's my friend, going back and forth in the DMs. And I'm just like, this is very like disgusting. Like, this is a bad attitude. Not a fan. I hope your podcast flops. Or best of luck. Either way, just do you, because I don't want that kind of negative energy around me.
Of course. And you know, we don't even have to even wish them well, because when bad blood is drawn, bad blood is what's going to settle it. Understand? So it won't really, if it's not meant to be, then it won't be like that.
Yeah. You know,
God's going to deal with that in his way that he's going to deal with that. But now, talk to us now about how you feel about the name now and what you plan on doing moving forward. Like, where are we at with it now?
Yeah. So glad that you asked. So I've been kind of like off social media for a bit ever since that happened, because for a long time I was like, I'm just going to stop because I can't now move forward with the name and the brand that I started, because a much bigger platform has like taken my name. But then I had a lot of support from my family and friends, which was really encouraging. Getting a lot of DMs from people who were telling me to keep going. And I went on like Apple Podcasts and I saw that there were like dozens of podcasts that had the same name. Like, I think one really popular name was like, Here's the Thing. There were like dozens of that. So I'm like, if dozens of podcasts called Here's the Thing can coexist, two podcasts called See the Thing Is can also coexist. So I've been taking the time to do the research, trying to figure out how to put on platforms. So I've actually like purchased a website domain, because they obviously didn't do that. So I purchased a website domain that's going to be airing soon. All my episodes that I have on Instagram, I'm going to try to move it from Instagram and put it on like my website platform. And then God willing, in the next year, I'm still in the works, but like I want to actually like move forward with this, because it's something that I'm passionate about, and like actually have this podcast on like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all these like platforms. So yeah, for those of y'all that didn't know, that's what I'm working on. And seethethingis.com is coming out real soon. You can listen to all the episodes that I've released on Instagram on that. And then very soon, in the next couple of months before the year ends, you can listen to it on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and stuff.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Listen, Charlotte, so now how is that going to be now? How does that break down with how that works with the See the Thing Is over on the Button podcast?
Honestly, I have not listened to a single episode. I could not care any less what they're doing, which is very like upsetting for me, because one of the podcast hosts, I was actually a fan of her. She's like, she's done other podcasts, and I was like a religious listener of one of her podcasts. So like, just to see the way she was going about it all, I'm like, it sucks because I like your other work, but I don't want to engage with that, and I don't want to engage with this. So I don't know what they're doing. They said they don't care about what I'm doing. So I said, okay, fine. I don't care about what you're doing either. Like you said, we don't have to wish them well. So they just going to do what they're going to do, and I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
You're going
to
do what you're going to do. And listen, like I said, there's a reason why, you know, they get built up and then they keep falling back down and they keep getting blessings and it keeps getting pulled away from them. Because, you know what I'm saying? Because when you do things that ain't supposed to be done, it's going to blow up in your face. All right?
Amen. Yep.
Yo, Charlotte, you kept it all the way real. Talk to us one more thing before you go. What can you say to young Black girls? Let's talk to young Black women right now that are content creators that want to create and feel like they're small and don't really have the motivation to move forward, but they just like, yo, I really want to do it, but I just don't know where to begin.
Yeah.
What would you say to them?
I would say, honestly, it's cliche, but I just say go for it. Because if you spend your time fixating on how to make it perfect, like, I don't have this yet, so I can't do it, or I don't know where, you're just going to spend all your time trying to figure out what to do and then not actually do it. So I feel like it's all trial and error. If you're passionate about something enough, it'll work. You know, like I started this and it was just on Instagram, and I was expecting to get like 5 people to join my live. And then I was reaching people that I never thought I'd reach. I was reaching people I'd never even seen before. And then it got to this point, right? So it's like, it was obviously good enough to get stolen. just believe in yourself and believing like in your work ethic and your content. Like, your ideas are brilliant. And just like, even if you're doing it for fun, still try to have some ownership over it, because you never know what can happen in the future.
Absolutely. You're completely right. Everybody's saying right now, talk to me. They saying, well said, believe in yourself. We love you. They put your fists up. They don't get mad. Charlotte,
I love y'all so much. Thank you. They really helped me through with this all.
Yo, definitely. I was cheering for you. We was trying to get you on the show for a while. So I've been watching this story formulate for a while, and I've been wanting to get you on, and I'm happy we was able to get it happen. Don't be a stranger. I do this show every Sunday. Whenever you feel like you want to come on and talk your smack, come on and come talk your smack.
Period.
But, you know, but we all about uplifting. So, you know, our smack is about uplifting, right? So like, but I appreciate you coming on and just giving us inspiration, and we wish you well on your show, and we'll definitely be tuning in whenever you're ready to circle back around. Come on the show and announce it.
Thank you so much. This is awesome.
Of course. Appreciate you. We'll see you soon.
All right. See ya. Enjoy your night.
All right, you too.
Bye.
All right, y'all. So that was Charlotte. Yo, that was a crazy story. Yo, I'm thinking about somebody came and actually took my show. If somebody took my show, yo, I don't know. It's just, all right, we're going to get Jason Lee on the line. Jason Lee, we in the building. Let's see if Jason Lee's on the line. All right. There we go. Let's get him on the line. Jason Lee's about to call in. Let's get it. Black Coaches Breakdown. All right, there you go. What's good, bro?
What's going on?
How we feeling, man?
It's Sunday night, you know, chilling.
Welcome to Black Coaches the Breakdown, man. How's everything?
Everything's good. Getting ready for the week, you know.
Okay, okay. All right, so we're going to clap for you, man, because you're welcome to Black Coach. You're a culture star, man. So welcome to the show, man. Welcome to the show. So the show is super chill, man. It's all about uplifting and just kind of getting everybody to know Jason Lee from, you know, from the ground up, just from start to beginning, man. I actually got to say that I'm actually impressed with just how you actually transformed social media in a way. You know, Hollywood Unlock is kind of like a staple for millennials in a way. You know what I'm saying? So I got to definitely say that I look up to some of the stuff that you do as someone that is a pioneer in this game. So I got to give it up to you. Let's clap for that. Jason, I was on your show, Gagging. I actually came on there, and that's how I actually, you know, got in contact with you. And now we got you on my show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been able to enjoy some success with Hollywood Unlocked and all my platforms, and I just feel like, you know, like I was just listening to the young lady before me. You know, I know how hard it was when I started, you know, and I had to come in and be a motherfucking savage and fight everybody and everything to get what I want. And, you know, a lot of it was done in private, but, you know, some of it was done in public. And, you know, I've been able to reach a certain level of success. I believe, like, more people need to, you know, be a bridge and you know, support other people. You know, I was talking to Ayanna Van Zant one day on my show, and I was just saying to her, like, I feel like the Oprahs and all those people, they need to build better bridges with people like me, because I'm reaching the millennials y'all can't reach. Like, nobody really knows. The younger people don't really know how inspirational important Oprah is, because they just know her on sound bites that they see on The Shade Room or Hollywood Unlocked or Ball Alert. But they need to stop being so fucking bougie and reach back and build a bridge. Then maybe Gail wouldn't be a joke when she says something crazy or whatever, you know?
Absolutely.
I just feel like more people, especially in the Black community, need to reach back a little bit more, because you can't forget where you come from, because everybody's going to fall off at some point.
Absolutely. Man, before we even jump into all that, let's bring it back to the beginning, bro. How did you actually build Hollywood Unlocked, right? Like, I know you know, like Jason Lee. Well, actually, bring it back to the beginning of Jason Lee. Walk us through the beginning of how you know, actually started your career.
Okay, well, first of all, I do have a whole book that outlines my career. Not a whole career, that's the next book, but it's called
I Should Have Forgotten About Me, right?
God Must Have Forgot About Me. It talks a lot about the personal journey to get to where I am now. But, I mean, you know, I launched Hollywood Unlocked on Love & Hip Hop. I mean, I used TV as a platform to launch my brand. Literally, the world heard about Hollywood Unlocked from Love & Hip Hop, and then, you know, from there, I just got really strategic to how I moved. I felt like, you know, season two where I was on didn't really represent who I was. To me, I didn't feel like it was a good reflection of who I was. So I launched a podcast, Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored, so people could see me and hear me directly.
Gotcha.
And that kind of took off. And then Nick Cannon came on, and I asked him to let me go on Wildin' Out. And he gave me seasons with Wildin' Out. So once I left VH1 and Love & Hip Hop and went to MTV. I felt like MTV treated me with more respect, and, you know, even though, I mean, I was established, I wasn't where I'm at now, but I was established enough to where they gave me full creative control. Nick gave me full creative control over how I wanted to present myself on the show, the type of jokes that I wanted to do. I crossed the line, I pushed the line.
Gotcha.
And then I ended up going back to Love & Hip Hop when I had a more solid respect from the network. And then my podcast got picked up when I went back to Love & Hip Hop. My podcast got picked up by iHeart, and then we went nationally. Then I got nationally syndicated too, so I got 52 markets out the gate. And then, you know, it's been a year since I launched that show. And now the show is number one around the country, you know, and now we're going into 55 markets and still growing. And then I launched a book and then up the big week. So, you know, I mean, it's just continuing to level up.
That's, bro, you win the money, man. Listen, people only aspire, people like me and Charlotte that was on here just before, aspire to kind of just get to even to be in a point to be nationally syndicated, man. So the fact that you did it just by, you know, literally, and everybody watched you do it because you started on Love and Hip Hop and then started launching it and kind of build, it's kind of dope. It shows to something that is important, which is consistency, right? So talk to us real quick about how important it was for you to stay consistent to kind of build from zero to 100.
Well, let's also say the fact that I'm openly gay and on urban radio in America through iHeart. I own the show. I don't work for iHeart. I own it. I license the name to them. I kept control of my brand. I control the content. I control the visuals. I control everything. But they've been really good partners to me. And then I did it on my own terms. I think most people go on Love & Hip Hop because they want to be famous. They don't go on Love & Hip Hop to use it as a platform to really blow up. I think Cardi's done a great job. I think K. Michelle's done a great job. And so I always knew going into Love & Hip Hop, I didn't want to be a reality star. I wanted to be a motherfucking boss. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I wanted to create a company that I could sell $500 million at some point, like Ariana did with, you know, the Huffington Post and so forth. And so, that's how I use it. But in terms of, like, you know, the question you just asked about the drive and all that, like, I had a conversation today with Serge Ibaka, you know, who's a basketball player, and him and I were talking about the Michael Jordan documentary, and I said to him, like, did you watch it? And he was like, yeah. I said, what'd you think about it? And he said, you know what, the one thing I got from it is something that I knew, but I was surprised how many people didn't know, is that you have to be consumed with what you're doing in order to be successful. Like, to really be successful, you have to really be consumed with it. And then when I think about it, I think back to a conversation I was having with Floyd one day on the phone where, you know, I was excited that this big producer wanted to meet with me about my show. And then he was just like, yo, you just have to hard work, dedication, keep going and be obsessed with what you're doing, you know? And then the minute that light switched, like, everything started opening up.
Absolutely. Man, like, so you said, be obsessed with what you're doing. So now, okay, how, like, talk to us about the tribulations. I know it had to be a journey. You ain't just turn on the switch and you just became Hollywood Unlocked, 2 million followers, one of the biggest, you know, social media platforms to break news. How was that journey and how long did you feel like, it was an easy road to get in there, or did you feel like you had to go through a lot of fights?
No, it wasn't easy. I mean, I had to walk away from Love & Hip Hop because I felt like they didn't line up with who I wanted to be. So I had to walk away from that. I had to walk away from that check. I had to walk away from that platform. You know, to be seen in front of millions of people every week is a big deal for you, you know, for your brand, you know. So I walked away from that, you know, to be able to, you know, not go back to wilding out for season, for last season, because I had to focus on my book, you know, and to walk away from that and then to take a season off, and then everything else is, you know, COVID and everything kind of fucked things up. But, you know, and then to know when to go back to Love & Hip Hop, like, everything has been strategic. Everything has been demanding that people respect my vision. You know, I have a vision for what I want to do. I don't get sidetracked by people talking shit online or people who get mad or all of that. For me, is all entertainment. I ain't thinking about these people when I'm not online or at work. And so when I went to Howard University to go speak about on my book, and the guy, you know, tried to train shame me because I was riding the train, made it a big old deal, and gagging, all that. And then I turned around and turned that into a bag. So I turned that little moment into a whole ass show that now I got an offer from a whole nother network for that show. So it's like,
look at that, bro.
I just don't let nobody distract me from my vision and my goals. Like, I don't invest in all that.
That's actually super dope that you actually just turn whatever people poke at you into a bag. That's the way you're supposed to do it, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the way you're supposed to do it. So you get ready to get in network offers, and you've only done, like, not that many episodes, right?
Yeah, I've only done, I think, we're on our 8th episode now.
Okay. So now, before we even get to gag real quick, let's go back to Hollywood Unlocked Uncensored. So I know that show has been, you know, like you said, it's nationally syndicated. And you actually, you know, been through quite some hosts, quite a few hosts on the show. Now I see that you actually just released the newest host, which is Blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
You gonna clap it up for Blue? I actually know Melissa. I met Melissa a few times. Because I'm the creative director and the choreographer out here in New York City. We used to be sponsored by HBO, so I used to go to the film festival, the ABFF Honors. So I thank year after year at the Honors. And I knew she was on your show Uncensored. And I definitely thought that you guys had interesting conversations just about breaking down what's happening in Black America, you know what I'm saying? So now it's just like a different switch up to see that, you know, Blue's going to be on the show. But I definitely think Blue's a dope fit. So talk to us now about the journey of Hollywood Unlocked and Censored into where we are right now with it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited. Our first show airs tomorrow, so people will see Blue for her first show. They'll see the new graphics, the new opening. It's a whole new set, a whole new vibe, whole new setup. The show is now called Hollywood Unlocked with Jason Lee, Uncensored. Blue and Damage are my co-hosts. And it's still the same format and still the same, wild conversations. You know, I joke in tomorrow's show, I said, you know, I know we're like the Destiny's Child of podcasts. You know, we've had so many changes. You know, and you know, I don't talk publicly about why things change, but I always tell people that change is a good thing, you know? In my book, I talk about, you know, life doesn't go in reverse. You don't drive in reverse. You don't read a book in reverse. You don't walk backwards. Life is always about keeping one foot in front of the other. And when people change or situations change, then, you got to figure it out and pivot. And as an entrepreneur, you know, you can't get into whatever it is you're doing thinking that everything is going to be exactly the way you want it. Did I want Melissa Ford to be at the finish line? Of course. You know, but I think, you know, she had her stuff happen within her life. And as her life changes, we supported her. Mm-hmm. And the new show is so, I'm so excited for people to see it. And there's such a big announcement coming out this week about that show that once people hear it, you know, they're going to be like, damn, like he really just flipped that. Like he really flipped it, you know, because to go nationally syndicated on radio was one thing. I didn't see that coming. That came out of nowhere. I you know, but everything else that's happening, I actually envisioned and planned and strategically now we are there. So I'm excited about it. And Blue is smart. I think she's a great reflection of our audience and the voice they want at the table when I'm saying all my crazy shit. So I think people are going to be excited.
Okay. Oh man, Blue about to be challenging you, man. She about to be holding you accountable.
Well, I don't think it's about holding anybody accountable because I own the company. I think it's about definitely having hard conversations and holding her ground with what her point of view is, which I respect.
Gotcha.
Not about any of us. You know, I don't come into the show as anybody's boss or they come in as my boss because that ain't the vibe that we have. It's literally like three of us come to the show with three different perspectives. Damage is a single father. He's a young Black man. He's out here grinding in Hollywood and I have a lot of respect for him. Blue, you know, comes from the griot. She's all things Black. She's a thick, juicy girl who's pansexual and very sexually fluid. It has her perspective on the culture. And I come in as a gay man who's unapologetic and unafraid to say what the fuck he wants. And the three of us together just have really good chemistry. So it's less about, and I think we have to do more of making sure that we don't allow people to think like it's a challenge, because it's not like I'm not, you know, afraid of them coming to the table with a different point of view, because I'm going to come to the table with however I think and I'm going to always push how I think.
Absolutely. But Jason, sometimes people holding people accountable is just good conversation in terms of just, it doesn't even mean you guys are enemies. It just means somebody's holding somebody accountable because people are going to have disagreements at some point with a conversation. You know what I'm saying?
Of course you have disagreements, but when you have creative disagreements, it's just one of those things where, you know, you can state your opinion as loud as you want and I can, but we walk away and move on to the next topic because, you know, I try not to live in what's happening. You know, I try not to live in topics because if I'm talking about, you know, Chris Brown getting into a fight with Trey Songz and whatever, it's over. I'm not married to that shit because it has nothing to do with me. I do my job and then I move on.
Gotcha.
I was elevated to a point now where when we first started, you know, we had people coming on to, you know, suck cucumbers and teach people how to give head and fucking, like, we did all the, we interviewed a goat, we interviewed Obama's fake crime face on it, like, we did all that crazy shit. And then we started interviewing, like, Al Sharpton and Senator Waters and, like, as the show started elevating,
yeah,
that's where gagging came to play, because it was like, I still need to have a creative outlet where I could just be best.
So, you know, man, so let's jump into gagging real quick, man. So gagging is the show that, you know, I just happened to just glance across. You know, I'm actually a creative director, like I said, and a choreographer. I dance, man. I'm in a new space now that I'm an educator first. So I'm, you know, this platform is all about educating and kind of helping people get to, you know, where they want to get to as I'm growing. So having someone like you on the ticket is super dope, because like I said, you kind of paved the way for a lot of people in media. But jumping into what you're doing now with gagging is super on another level, bro. I actually got a chance to watch the episode that I was on, and I was like, yo, I don't even know if I ever want to go on here. but I was like, nah, man. I was like, I'm gonna go. But listen, I'm here to watch the bullshit, but I don't like to be a part of it. But I was like, I'm gonna definitely go on here and try to get you on my show. But talk to us about gagging, man. Just how raw and authentic, and just how, like, whatever comes to mind, and you just challenge, you push the envelope. What it is that gives you inspiration?
Well, what inspired me was, you know, like I said, when I went to go talk at Howard University, I had never spoken at a HBCU. It was my first time. It was a great experience. And then I ran into a Nicki Minaj fan who took a video of us getting on a train and made it a big deal. Like, I was going, I was at Howard University speaking. The next day I was going on the Breakfast Club. So I had to go from New York to, I was in like multiple different cities and states. So I went from New York to DC to speak, turned around, got back on a train that same night, went back to New York for the Breakfast Club in the morning, had to get a haircut late at night. I mean, it was like the craziest thing. So when the video came out, I was just puzzled at how stupid some of the people in our community and our culture are. I just find like some of our people are an embarrassment. And the fact that this, you know, this nigga who looked like he was homeless just dug himself out the garbage can, had the audacity to, you know, try to shame me for taking a train like the vice president does, like Whoopi Goldberg does, like regular people do. I'm a regular person. I just take it as an opportunity to be creative. So me and T.S. Madison had been talking about her show. I had done her show. And I see a lot of YouTubers like Daytime Tea Time, you know, Lovely Tea, Armand Wiggins. And I started seeing how creative they were with their platforms and just literally from their homes creating their own shows. And here I was in the middle of a fucking big-ass agreement with MGM to launch a daytime nationally syndicated talk show. But then COVID happened, and when COVID happened, it was like, I lost the deal because they were like, we can't have no audiences. So I was like, fuck. Okay, well, what am I going to do? Sit and wait for a network to come and do it, or just build it? All these other motherfuckers like Armand and them are being creative and doing it. So what am I waiting for? I got all the resources. I got money. I got the relationships. So I started looking at all their shows to see, like, okay, I love Armand's audio. You know, I had audio issues when I first started mine. This shit was a bitch. Then I liked how T.S. Madison brought in fans on StreamYard. Then I liked how Daytime Tea Time did her videos. And so I reached out to all of them privately. I had conversations with them on the phone, and they were all helpful. And then I went and launched Gagging with Jason Lee. I shot a video. And then, but see, what people don't know is the opening to the show is an actual song with an actual big feature on it that's going to drop once we shoot that video. So I just got in my creative bag and then, you know, drop the show. And so now it literally is one of those unapologetic shows where I just am going to say and do whatever I want.
Listen, man, yo, Gag with Jason Lee, I think is probably one of the groundbreaking shows on YouTube right now. Keep going with that, because I definitely feel like it's going to be something that's definitely going to push the envelope. So now what's next for Jason Lee in terms of what you want to keep doing, man? You got a nationally syndicated show. Now you're in the YouTube era. You've done reality TV. Are you moving into movies? You got a book. You know what I'm saying? Like, are you moving into movies?
Well, I can't say who, but I will say somebody is developing my book for a TV series. Nobody knows that yet. I have a big announcement coming out this week. I did notify Viacom that I want to get off of Love and Hip Hop and Wildin' Out. I think I'm done doing TV shows that I don't own or control. Mm-hmm. I want to get in. I launched my production company, Sutter Street Productions, and now I'm developing TV shows. And so I'm happy this week I get to make an announcement about one of my first shows. And then Gagging, we have an offer from a network that's pretty decent. And then I just want to start creating more content and more shows and selling them or licensing them to networks. So I want to now, I'm a content creator. So now I want to create more content, developing my app. So I'm just, you know, going to keep growing and keep creating more opportunities for other people.
Bro, that's what it's all about, Jason. Bro, talk to us about how important it is to own your content. You keep saying that you don't want to be a part of nothing that you don't own or have creative control. You saw Charlotte just now had an issue with basically now she has to really fight to really own her content. You know what I'm saying? And now talk to us now about like how important it is for you to own content and creators to own content.
Well, I mean, ownership is the new black, right? Like, I feel like when I look at, you know, somebody like a Floyd Mayweather, who I recently posted on my Instagram, you know, he's one of my mentors. You know, he's somebody who took me under his wing and showed me the game. And he showed me how he went from being a boxer to being the promoter and owning his fights and owning the shows and the content. The fact that, you know, he has people like NBC trying to pay him $1 billion for all his footage. You know, I know in content in our world, you know, where a lot of businesses are failing right now, my revenue is up 300% and I'm doing great. And so I learned a long time ago that content is good and content's going to always be good and that ownership is important. So I can license my footage. When people hit me up all the time and say, hey, can I license this interview that you did with Floyd? I'm like, yeah, you can give me $7,500 for every 30 seconds. So seconds you want is $7,500. So if you want a minute, that's $15,000. And if they say yes, great, I license it to them. If they say no, I don't. Lifetime, I'm suing them right now because they took some of my footage and put it in the R. Kelly documentary without asking me. So now I'm suing them, you know. So yeah, ownership is great. That lady who was on here, you know, if she can show that she had a show before this other show and she has the domain, she can file for a trademark and send them a cease and desist and sue them. I would not just give up or change my business because somebody bigger tried to take it.
But Jason, you got to understand. So someone like, you know, when you're looking at someone that has, you know, all this money and a lot of followers and you're a small brand, it's intimidating. You know what I'm saying? And that is.
But what makes her small?
I'm not saying that she's small because.
But what makes her small?
Well, she's a small brand. She's
but what makes her small?
Because she doesn't have as many followers and recognition.
No, it's up here. She thinks she's small. You can say something with 10 followers and it can go viral. Hmm. You can talk to one person and it can go viral. So people who think small, therefore, will be small. I've never thought, you know, I look at The Shade Room. I know they have way more followers on Instagram, but they don't have a nationally syndicated radio show. They're not on two networks on TV every day or every week. So we all have different things. And that's why me and Angie can respect each other because she has strengths in one place and I have strengths in another. You know, Robin at Baller Alert, she's been around before all of us. She has her strengths. She's in Miami. We're in LA and we all talk because at the end of the day, I don't never look at these other platforms and go, yo, they're bigger than me or I'm smaller than them. I look at all of them like, okay, cool. Congratulations. Keep doing your thing. And I fight my own fight. And I think that for somebody who may not have as much followers as her, as she may not have as much followers as they do, but she can absolutely make a lot of noise if she keeps pushing the right agenda.
Absolutely. Bro, yo, you just flipped that all the way around, bro. I got to give you a props on that, bro. Yo, the comments is actually going crazy. They say so very true, that's real. You know what I'm saying? And that was absolutely real. I actually got to agree with you 100% on that. And that is what makes her small is just the fact that she would think that she would be small. Because you can compete with anybody and have two. In this, especially in this day and age, when we're all just talking on now on a platform like this, anybody can go on YouTube, anybody can go on Instagram and do what you need to do and create viral content. It's just about owning.
Yeah, you just got to think big. I never thought small. I never thought of myself as being small. I remember starting my Instagram with zero, Hollywood Unlocked with zero followers. I'm like, damn, I'm going up against the Shade Room. They got like a million. This is crazy. You know, Ball Alert already has 2 million or whatever they had at the time. I never let that intimidate me. I don't give a fuck. I'm going still. I've been in Vogue. I've been in Vanity Fair. I've been in Variety. I've been in every major publication. And I'm going to keep on going and keep on. Like, I'm barely getting started.
Absolutely. Charlotte, I hope you're on and still listening because, you know, I hope you're just taking all these gems that Jason's definitely throwing at you right now. But Jason, bringing it back to just kind of like now, where you are right now. I want to talk to you about Hollywood Unlocked and Censored again. What are your top three favorite interviews that you had? And then talk to me about which interview taught you the most. Like, yo, I actually really learned.
I think one of my top three interviews definitely is my first interview with Jennifer Lewis. She inspired me to write my book.
Gotcha.
She inspired me to start doing the work that I needed to do on myself. And she was so open and so raw and candid that she was like, and I read her book and I was really excited to be able to talk to her. And she became one of my favorites. My first interview with Floyd Mayweather was 5 hours long. We dropped it as a 5-part series. He opened up and I think revealed a lot of who he was that people didn't know. So he's one of my favorites. And I also think that, you know, Lunell is always a favorite because Lunell I've known since I was 16 years old and she's just funny as hell, you know, and I really enjoy her and she knows me longer than a lot of people. And so she knows the journey that I've gone through personally and professionally. And so she has an appreciation for it and I respect that. So yeah, those are some of my three. The one that I learned the most, I don't know one that I learned the most. I mean, I can't even think of all the interviews that I've had. I will say I think Amber Rose was one I learned a lot from because we had fell out. And then she called me and actually came on my show to confront it head on and didn't tell me to censor anything and stayed for as long as I wanted to talk and answered everything. And it taught me how to... You know, I still do it sometimes, but like, you know, if I get annoyed with somebody or I don't like something, I will go and talk crazy. And so now I do it strategically. I don't do it emotionally.
Okay. That's how you gotta do it, man. It's all about being strategic, man. So Jennifer Lewis is definitely an icon. As soon as you said her, the comments started going crazy. They saying, yes, Jason Lee, love you. Yes, absolutely. Love the book. Jennifer Lewis, still stand up. That interview gave me so much life. They said, I love the Lunell interview. Jason Lee, I love your transparency. This interview is giving me so much life. You know what I'm saying? Jason, it's all about super inspiring, man. That's what it's about. It's just, you know, uplifting people just get to the next level of what they want to be in life. And owning content, especially in this day and age, is super important. And I actually watched that Jennifer Lewis interview, and that interview gave me life. And I was like, yo, she's super intense. But it's so real that you just have no, I was glued, you understand? Like, just kind of like, just the way that she just breaks down analogies and just the way that she was navigating through yours and damages questions, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I definitely see how that was important.
Yeah, yeah. And that was our second interview, but we've interviewed her twice and Lunell's been on twice. And we have, who's coming on this week? I think we have Ryan Henry's coming on this week to talk about all the drama he's in. We still going to spill the tea. Natalie Nunn is going to be on Gagging this week. And we have some really big guests coming up on the podcast.
Nah, super lit. So now let's go into political, Jason, because I know you definitely talk about your stance on Black America, which is why I think you're even on the show, because I know you have a voice for Black America. Talk to us about everything that's going on with all these celebrities having, you know, these major political voices, you know, like right now, like Ice Cube, you know, Puffy just dropped the Our Black Party. And then, you know, Trump is out here talking about the Platinum Plan. There's a lot of names being thrown around out here. So talk to us about where you're standing with that.
Yeah, you know, I've said on my show, I don't really listen. Celebrities don't tell me who to vote for. Like, before entertainment, I worked for a labor union, so I led workers at Kaiser Permanente for 10 years, and I was involved in many political campaigns and everything from precinct walking and knocking on doors to phone banking and calling people, leafleting, sending out the literature. Like, I did it all, right? I don't listen to celebrities. That's noise to me. You know, what Puffy's doing is noise to me. What Ice Cube is doing is noise to me. Everybody who is in the $1 million or $1 billion bracket is doing everything that's in their best interest. If they really cared about Black people, they'd be creating programs for people like you to create, you know, content and move up in the ranks. Revolt, Diddy owns a whole entire network. He can build out an entire program to help young creators create content for his struggling network. You know, when it's, you talk about Ice Cube, how many artists are out there killing themselves or being killed in the streets? If they had a pipeline from the streets to the studio where they could actually create music and not be out here killing each other, we would have more Black men out of prison and doing things constructive, because they'd be driven by passion and less by all the bullshit. I think it's all a distraction. Puffy follows Trump. I fuck with Puff and I fuck with Ice Cube. Both are important to the culture. And I fuck with Kanye West, even though he's a little nutty at times and he's talking about creating the birthday party. But none of them control my mind when it comes to how important this election is. So there you have it.
Bro, you definitely rap. you know what I'm saying? That was definitely, you know, a spoonful, but it was definitely real. And it just sounds like noise a lot of times. Like, just really get to Malcolm X said, in no other race does, you know, does a comedian talk about politics. White people don't have a comedian being at the forefront of politics. You understand? You just respect the craft. Have conversations with people that actually know how to make the real changes. And you know what I'm saying? And put those people in the forefront of the culture. And the celebrities should endorse those people. They should. Yeah,
the problem is that Black people only, and Black celebrities only focus on politics at election time. This is not the time to focus on politics. When Joe Biden and Kamala Harris get elected, God willing, they need to be held accountable on the first day and the second day and the third day and every other day. We have to get involved with the political process, not just at election time, but when you have people in the White House and in the city council and in your board of supervisors. Like, elections don't just matter at the national level. Like, who's your DA? Who the fuck is supporting police profiling, not holding police accountable? Who's your mayor? How are they zoning, and how are the local politics is what affects you the most. What Trump does in the White House is just pure entertainment for me. It doesn't affect me as much as the local people do, but I feel like we're so removed from the process because we don't believe it has anything to do with us, and that's why we keep fucking losing and they keep winning.
It's completely why. You know, we have to be involved from the local level, like you said, bro. And a lot of times, you know, Black people only want to respond to, well, Puffy said it, so let's do it. Or, you know, the baby's talking about it, so we're going to vote this time. But what happens after the election is done, it's time to vote for primaries again. The fact that we even have these two options is actually just quite disturbing to me. Nobody wanted to vote during primaries. Nobody wanted to vote during all the early election. And now everybody's panicking because we're faced with these two options.
The fact that we have a Republican Senate that's getting ready to push a Supreme Court justice through during an election when they wouldn't even let Obama do it. And the fact that our people aren't mapping out the states that need to remove the Mitch McConnells and the other motherfuckers who are holding those seats that are causing problems. If this bitch gets elected and Biden doesn't pack the court, then what happens? Gay people lose their right to marriage. Women lose their right to abortions. Like, then everything that we've, universal health care is gone, like everything we fought hard to get over the years, then you're going to lose all that because we're not paying attention to how the Supreme Court is going to affect us. And the fact that people in these states aren't trying to remove or recall or get other people elected in these states is just insane. So, yeah, I don't listen to what these celebrities got to say. It's just noise.
Man, it's complete noise. So, all right, so now we know where Jason Lee stands, where everybody, all the celebrities talking about their political stance. It's just pretty much noise. So what is your What is your advice to the American people right now? If you had something to say about the election, what is your Jason Lee's advice to the American people?
Be registered to vote and show up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a complete fact. All right, so now jumping into quarantine. What has quarantine taught Jason Lee about business?
I mean, I've just had more time to be focused, you know, more time to be focused and just being more appreciative, you know. I wasted a lot of money. I wasted a lot of shit, a lot of time. I wasted a lot of everything, but, you know, just to be more focused.
Okay. So you felt like it just taught you how to kind of refocus a little bit.
Yeah, I think it was a reset. I think for everybody, it slowed everybody down. It's the whole world stopped for a while, you know what I mean? And people are now trying to figure it out. But I was able to, you know, pivot everything. We went from our studio to online. You know, what's coming out this week is just more of an advancement. You know, being able to focus on, you know, developing gagging, you know, outlining my second book, just being able to make moves, you know what I mean, and having the time to do it.
Absolutely. All right, so let's talk about that second book, man, that you mentioned that a few times. When can we expect this second book to pull up on us?
I don't know. It's going to take like 8-9 months to write. It's okay. The whole process. It won't be till next year, though.
Okay, got you. So we're thinking next year. All right, and then now, in terms of business, what's next for Jason Lee? What's he got next coming up in the works that you could talk about?
Creating content for networks, you know, creating, developing shows, creating and developing more podcasts. I have, like I said, an announcement coming out this week, which I'm really happy about, where I finally publicly launch my production company and, you know, just start creating more opportunities and hopefully be able to create with some of my friends too.
Absolutely. That's what it's all about, bro. Man, you and the money out here, Jason, man, you actually came on here and inspired us, you know what I'm saying? We disregard negative. We disregard negativity on this show. So you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, we just here to inspire, uplift, and bring people to the top.
Yes.
So at the end of the day, Jason, that's what we're here to do on Black Culture, the Breakdown. So now, actually, what advice would you give to, you know, young entrepreneurs and content creators that want to actually start building their content from the ground up? What advice would you give to them?
I mean, my number one advice would be just start and don't give up and just get consumed with it. Like, you literally have to be consumed with it. And you have to, I mean, you just can't give up no matter what. And just make sure that you're, you know, focused on whatever your vision is and making sure that you're, you know, doing the work every single day to get there. Like, there's no days off. Everybody's talking about they hate their job. Well, if you hate your job, then you need to quit and find what you like to do. I traded in a 9-to-5 for 24/7. I'm always working. You know, I try to take Sundays off to rest or, you know, take a bath and just get a massage or whatever. But, you know, Monday through Saturday, I'm hustling. I'm still working on Sundays too, but like a little bit. But yeah, I think that you have to be consumed with it and you can't get distracted by how hard it's going to be at first. It's going to be hard as fuck, but just keep putting in the work, you know?
Absolutely. Man, Jason, you kept it real with us, man. Any final words on what you got want to say to the people before you bounce on us today, bro?
No, just stay tuned into what's going on this week. Lots of announcements that I'm excited about. The show tomorrow. Make sure you watch Blue's first episode with Hollywood Unlocked, Hollywood Unlocked with Jason Lee Uncensored, and the new branding and everything. And yeah, just, you know, keep it lit.
Absolutely. Man, Jason, whenever you're in New York, man, I have a studio. You definitely got to come by and come talk to my students. I teach, actually, like I have a school.
Yeah, so, I actually just got an apartment in New York, so I actually move in November 1st, so I'll be back and forth a lot.
All right, lit. Let's definitely make that connection. Actually, I want to tell you a story. I actually saw you at an event in New York City. It was for Fashion Week. I was there. You walked in with Hennessy. And we were standing right. I was literally standing right next to you. And I turned around. I was like, "That's Jason Lee that's standing right next to me." And I turned around. And I said, "And that's Hennessy that's standing right next to him."
Fashion show.
It was for Teyana Taylor performed.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. I remember that.
That was maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, actually. It was quite a...
Yeah, I remember that. That was a long time ago.
It was a really long time ago. But, man, I was just... But, like I said, I saw you. I knew you from Love & Hip Hop then. I knew who NC was from Cardi B then. And just to even be like, yo, I guess one day I'll be able to connect and be on live right now. So that's just a testament to say that you can literally see things and manifest it and just kind of move forward and how you want to do things.
Yeah, for sure. And New York is one of my favorite cities. So, yeah, anytime they have Fashion Week, I'm there. I'm so mad Fashion Week was canceled this year.
Yo, it was on. It was virtual. It was definitely not a way. Yeah, we not definitely doing no virtual stuff. Yo, quarantine has actually been a dub over here in New York City. But, you know, we just trying to be as positive as we can over here.
I don't know how it's going to be when the snow and rain starts dropping. You know what I mean? Like with, I don't know, restaurants closed. I mean, I don't know how it's going to be. Where do you guys grocery shop in New York? Because I need to find a grocery store.
Trader Joe's and Whole Foods. I only eat organic stuff. If it's not organic, I don't eat it. You understand? So that's how I do it. But I'm a dancer, so I got to stay fit. But you know what I'm saying? To the best of my abilities, and my eating is definitely important. Whole Foods and Trader Joe's, period.
Interesting. Okay, cool. And Amazon?
Nah.
Amazon Prime, they deliver food too, right?
No. We don't order from Amazon. We go to Whole Foods, okay? I don't know. I don't trust. Yo, you trust people delivering your groceries to your crib?
They deliver my groceries all the time. Instacart.
No, but that's L.A. See, I feel like L.A. is different. In New York is a little gully. I don't trust people to deliver my food like that. I got to pick it.
Well, we'll see. You know, going to the store for me is different. I don't want to go to the store and talk about Love & Hip Hop. I want to talk about why. Oh, you know what? I will say another one of my favorite interviews, of course, is when I interview Wendy. Because Wendy has been a big supporter of mine in Hollywood Unlocked. She put me on her show 4 times last year. She came and did the interview with me. I just was in New York about a month ago and had lunch with her at Dos Caminos. Like, I fuck with Wendy heavy. And she's been somebody who I think has been underrated in terms of like the impact she's had in radio and television. She's had a successful show now for 11 years on TV, and she was like one of the number one radio hosts in the world, now in the Hall of Fame. So she's been like a blueprint too for kind of what I want to do, because I had never thought about getting an Emmy. I had never thought about, you know, winning a Grammy for audiobook or anything. I didn't even know those possibilities were there. But now that I'm doing the stuff and putting out competitive work, I'm actually like really working to get my shit. So yeah, that was, I didn't want to leave without saying that.
Now, Wendy Williams is definitely a pioneer in just hip hop. I was like, yo, she's interviewed everybody just through the course of her career. And you know what I'm saying? So it's pretty dope to see that she's still around, you know, a whole decade later, 2 decades later, actually.
She's reaching back and showing love to me, sharing her platform, you know?
Absolutely. And that's super dope. And the fact that you even pull people up is kind of dope too. I definitely see that you like, you know, I felt like you kind of introduced a lot of people to who DJ Damage is. And because of that, I'm able to kind of like tune into what he does just because of, you know, your platform.
Don't take nothing away from me to show nobody, let no somebody else shine. Don't take nothing from me.
Absolutely. It definitely doesn't, man. That's definitely real. But when you get to New York, man, you definitely got to make sure you just,
what grade are your kids?
Okay, I'm going through a metamorphosis right now with the business. COVID kind of shut me down. And I was like, all right, I don't think I really want to. And I just, one of my students just passed away. So I actually was like, I don't think, I'm traumatized. I don't want to deal with kids like that no more.
How old was the student?
She was 20, but I told her since she was 14 and that she graduated with me. So, you know, I only had my school about 5 years. I'm not that old, you know what I'm saying? I only had my school about 5 years, so she was one of my first students.
These dancers?
Say that again?
Are they dancers, or what kind of school is it?
It's a performing arts academy. It's called Lotus Creations Academy. And I'm a choreographer, so I focus primarily on dance, but we're moving into acting, hosting, just media branding, just teaching kids how to just be successful in entertainment, period. So, pretty much what it's about. I'm going through a metamorphosis now. So actually, that's what I'm looking at, you know, looking for acting coaches. I'm looking for all that to kind of put into the space now. And the studio actually doubles as a production house. If you ever want to come and shoot some dope content in there, it's all white floors, white walls, gold ceiling, super dope. And, you know, so I you can see some photos and stuff like that, but it's a super dope academy. It's in Brooklyn.
Cool. All right. Well, no, I definitely check it out.
Yeah, man, most definitely, man. And we do fitness classes. I know you're on your fitness tip, man. I see Stephen G's in the building. I interviewed him last week, and he's actually right now one of the Fenty models, the heavyset guy on Fenty. I'm not sure if you don't want that went viral. I interviewed him last week, and, you know, he's representing for, like, a whole new wave of people that's just, like, you know, representing for, you know, the stockiest set that hasn't really gotten recognition before. So, you know, I see that you on a fitness journey, so, you know, definitely stay true to that, man.
Oh, absolutely. There's no turning back.
Definitely. Ah, here you go right there, the official Stephen G. you know, but, yeah, he's doing his thing right there. Any advice on how to keep in shape?
I'm still figuring that out myself.
All right, so you're just staying true to the gym. All right, well, man, when you get to New York, hit us up, man. We out here.
For sure. Thank you for inviting me on. I told you I would come.
Of course, man. You definitely did, and you stayed true to your word. We got to clap it up for that. All right.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, man. We'll definitely stay in touch, man. Appreciate you, Jason Lee.
No problem. Peace.
All right. All right, y'all. So that was Jason Lee, from CEO and founder of Hollywood Unlocked. Yo, I'm mad tired. It's been a stressful weekend. Like I said, I had to, deal with a lot of different things this weekend, a little technical difficulties, but we got through the show. We in the money. Jason Lee pulled up. Charlotte pulled up.
Yes.
All right, y'all. I'm tired. But appreciate y'all. If y'all don't follow me right now at The Only Jersey. We do this show every Sunday at Black Culture The Breakdown. Tune in. We'll have a good time every Sunday. Next week, we got a super dope lineup. We got, should I tell y'all who's coming on next week? Or no, y'all gonna follow me. Y'all gonna see the flyer, and then y'all gonna see who's coming on next week. But I got a super dope guest coming on next week. See y'all later.